Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We will be at Fadley's next Friday in time for the Splash Guy bobblehead thing. Luke and I will be there from 2 until 5 at Fadley's, giving away the Maryland Lottery Pac-Man scratch-offs. It's been very popular and very winner-centric. I've had a whole bunch of winners pop up as we've done the Crab Cake Tour. We were at Greenmount Station and Greenmount Bowl last week talking about horse racing. It is Derby week. We have the Orioles beating up on the Yankees. We've got spring springing and 80 degrees outside and all of that. My 25th anniversary documentary is out. And just in time for Father's Day, because your father probably needs some financial advice, we welcome Leonard Raskin back onto the program, our defending champion for all things finance and the American dream. When I left him last week, I asked, this is how honest Leonard is. I asked him last week, do you really think the Capitals have a chance? And even though he was wearing his Ovechkin jersey, he said, nah. And a week later, here we are, and, you know, I know you don't bet on sports, but you could have bet on that, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a better. You're right. They were swept out of town with a, dare I say, lackluster effort all over the ice. Bad on the power play, bad on the penalty kill, bad 5-on-5, clearly playing a superior team. The Rangers won the President's Trophy, which for your non-hockey fans means they had the best record in the league. The Capitals snuck into the playoff with the worst record in the playoffs and got what they deserved. I hate to say it. I love the team. There you go. They got what they deserved. They were swept right out of town.
The Dan Shaughnessy, who I invited on a couple weeks ago, he's recovering from a massive procedure, a health procedure. Dan's a good man. He's always been supportive. He spent time in Baltimore. We were never colleagues at the News America, but he worked here. And you know, he had the curse of the Bambino, you know, that he coined that. The curse of trots, right? You know, like
they haven't won much
since they mistreated one of the really good humans I've met in my walk in life. So
they have not won a playoff series since they hoisted the cup.
We didn't win a game last week, right?
2018. So it doesn't seem like it's possible. But now we've gone all these years and not even a sniff of getting back to the finals. We haven't won a series since then. And, yeah, this year, not even a game of the series. So,
and by the way, the Trots has brought the series back to Nashville for
Nashville.
Friday
they're
too,
fighting it. They're fighting in Nashville. That's
lost
right.
That overtime game in game four. That kind of sucked. Leonard Raskin is here. He does the financial thing and the American dream. But we'll talk a little sports, talk a little baseball. I want to talk about my 25th anniversary video because you've actually seen it. I want to get some feedback.
Yeah.
I've gotten no feedback on the air from literally anybody. Luke was so overworked over the weekend with the draft and stuff that he didn't even watch it. So my wife hasn't watched it yet because she was on vacation hiking somewhere in Georgia all last week. So I'll get to that. But you have a book signing coming up next week.
Yes, sir.
You have a book called
sir.
Fiducie Who? And I always sort of, you know, have to begin with, let's Google a fiduciary. What exactly is a fiduciary? It's a person who looks out for my money and does it with the responsibility that you'd want someone who's an expert to have, right? That's basically what a fiduciary is, right?
Fiduciary means you have a responsibility to someone to act on their best interest, on their behalf. So if you are a trustee of a trust, you are a fiduciary for the beneficiaries, which means you must act with the money in that trust in the best interest of the beneficiaries. In the case of finance and financial advice, a fiduciary must act in the best interest of their client. And the book is about, in its basic, in the title, is the fact that there are, a lot of people out there that will tell you they are a fiduciary. Sadly, in my opinion, they are an investment fiduciary. They don't identify themselves exactly as what they are. What I mean by that is, if you are an investment fiduciary, that means you don't receive commissions potentially for the sale of product, and you have to act in the best interest of your client when it comes to investing. People call themselves that because of the way they're compensated. I disagree wholeheartedly in the definition. I believe that the compensation you receive and the way you receive it has nothing to do with you being a fiduciary. What matters is, do you have the best interest of your client at the beginning, middle, and end of your interaction? The compensation does not measure your fiduciary ability, duty, responsibility, or the way you carry it out. The sad fact is our government, through the Department of Labor, has now promulgated a rule that says it absolutely does, and that the compensation method determines effectively your duties and your fulfillment of them. And it's garbage. Sadly, it's going to put, I think, I hate to say it, Nestor, it's going to put half the people in my business out of business. And it's going to cause people that don't have a significant account value or significant ability to pay a fee to not get advice. Because the Department of Labor has basically said that those that receive commissions for the implementation of financial products have a conflict of interest and are not giving
their
clients.
But they kind of do. I mean,
no, they kind of don't.
Well, they kind of don't.
Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
If you walk into a Toyota dealer, you don't expect to be referred to a Mercedes dealer. So if you walk in a Northwestern Mutual shop, you shouldn't expect to be told to buy Mass Mutual life insurance. You should be thinking you're going to be getting a product from a Mass Mutual guy. And you got to be aware of that. Now, if you walk into a Merrill Lynch office, you don't expect to be told to go to T. Rowe Price. But they've just said that if you work on a commission basis, you have a conflict of interest and therefore you can't assist a client. There are lots of great advisors that receive their compensation on a commission basis and do great work. They may not have the number one best product in the world for the client, but they got a damn near good one. I'll give you another example. Let's say we go to, I don't want to trash or dash any of your sponsors, but let's use this as an example. You don't have any jewelry company sponsors, right?
No, I do not.
So let's suppose you go into a jewelry store that shall not be named because we don't want to give free advertising to any of our local jewelry stores, but let's assume you went into the
Acme Jewelers. Go ahead.
Acme Jewelers, the local Acme Jewelers. It's highly unlikely that you're going to be told the cost of the diamond you're buying for your wife. You're going to buy a diamond. How the heck does that jewelry store get compensated? They get a share of the price. It's called markup. Well, in my business, it's called commission, and it's got to be directly disclosed. And if I earn it, the government says I'm not acting in the best interest of my client. It's a bunch of crap. It's a load. But here's the point of the book, back to what you originally asked and what we're talking about here. Fiduci Who says even investment advisors that are fiduciaries are not fiduciaries, because if they don't talk to you about your taxes, if they don't talk to you about your protection, your insurance, your estate plan, then what happens if I've got the best investment advisor, who is a fiduciary by law, who's telling me what to do with my money by law and getting paid on a fee basis to do so, and I get into a car accident and it's my fault, and I injure an attorney making 200 grand a year, litigator, 40 years old, that sues me for millions of dollars. Guess what happens to my portfolio, Ness? They take it.
Yeah.
And so this fiduciary did me no good because my money's gone. Or what if I have a stroke at 40 years old and I can't work ever again and all my hopes and dreams aren't fulfilled because my investment fiduciary didn't tell me I should have disability income insurance to protect me if I can't work and earn an income ever again? Or what if I die young and my family is left to sell the house and take the kids out of school because I didn't have life insurance? See, fiduciary to me is an everything definition about money. You either help people do everything or you are not a fiduciary. So the book is Fiduci Who. What is a real fiduciary and what will they tell you about how to protect, grow, enjoy, and transfer your wealth? And that's what the book's about. It's not about being an investment fiduciary and it's not about being a definition by the government fiduciary. It's about doing the right job for the people we advise. And so next Tuesday, the 7th of May, 4 to 7 at our office in Phoenix, Maryland, you can find us on RaskinGlobal.com. We're doing a book signing. Invite any of your listeners that want to get the book, want to read it, want to see what a real fiduciary talks about. Come on out, have some grub, have a drink, meet me, get a book signed, and let's help people do the right thing with their money, not just the partial right thing or the government mandated right thing, because it's a bunch of garbage that what's going on out there. And sadly, as I say, consumers are going to be hurt because the government's now mandated a method of compensation and liability, most importantly, liability against the advisor who doesn't act this way. Well, guess what? If you're Joe Lunchbucket, you can't afford to pay a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 fee to an advisor to work with them. You're not going to get advice because nobody's going to put their license on the line when you sue them because they earned a commission on a product they sold you.
Well, I'm not saying because there's a commission, there's a conflict of interest.
The but government I do... is. The government has.
I'm saying there could be.
Well, they're saying there is. They're not saying could be. They're saying there is a blatant conflict. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden called financial commissions junk fees. Right up there with a luggage cost for your airline. He said this is a junk fee that the consumer can't afford to pay. It's tragic. There were lobbyists in the industry that wanted this rule, and the Department of Labor passed it under Obama. Trump shut it down. Biden brought it back stronger, raging, worse. And it's going to destroy middle America that they say they hope to help by this regulation. It's really bad. Really
people
bad.
People have such a hard time on who to trust. And you
That's
mentioned
right.
fiduciary. Everybody's their own fiduciary
Yes.
until they're not, right? And you're not only your own fiduciary. My mother was 98 years old when she died, right?
Yep.
So, like,
yep.
I'm trying to look after her. My mother wasn't the most honest person. I have a stepbrother who, you know, existed in money. And like, there's a point where, like, somebody – and I'm proud of my son. My son's 40
yeah.
years old and he's very conscientious. But and for me, I was always, as you learned from the documentary, I was always putting my money back into the business,
yeah.
back into growing the business, back, quite frankly, I hope that you caught on, into people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I made payrolls and I paid people
absolutely
to help me grow my business that, quite frankly, in the end was foolish. Like now that I measure it as to where it was and what I could have done with that money. But I was the fiduciary for partners, Brian Billick, you can go through all of this.
Yes.
That said, I have to make decisions with money that are in the best interest of the business. And some people think when you run the business, it's what's in Nestor's, but no, it's about it. Because
that's right.
Without it, and Steve Bisciotti always taught me that before he stopped talking to me and ran from me, you know, it has to sustain itself.
It has
to be a going concern. The business has to work.
The business has to work. But
so does the family
thing.
Budget. Like,
that's right. The business has to work for the shareholders. So you had an obligation as a fiduciary. You weren't just a
on-air
talent.
Yes.
You had a duty to benefit the shareholders. And you have to do that at the same time.
Actually, I had a duty to pay the bank back for the most part.
Well, that's absolutely true, too. That's absolutely
the case. That's the thing that kept me more awake at night than anything else was banks got to get paid. Wells Fargo has to get paid. The note has to get paid. I mean,
that's a lot of stress.
Life,
that's
right?
financial stress. Oh. And in fact, what we talk to business owners about, just to put a icing on that cake, if you will, the buggy whip guy thought he had to make a better and better buggy whip till that Model T toddled down the road. And Blockbuster franchises thought they had to get those videos back by 10 rewound because it took so long to rewind a video if you didn't rewind it.
That's a junk fee.
There you go. And they put a lot of money back into opening a second and a third Blockbuster. Until Netflix came along and they're gone. You know, so the fact is, as a business owner, you have to keep an eye on the business, no doubt. But you must be your personal family fiduciary, meaning you have the best interest of your family first. And if you don't, when the Model T comes down or Netflix comes down, you find out quickly that your business with all its value is worthless.
Oh yeah, I own an AM radio station, and 40 years into this. So you saw the documentary. What
I did.
I don't know where you came into my life. Like you say to me, we've talked Whiskey Joe's before, so I
Yeah,
feel like you
yeah.
were listening to
I
Nasty
was
Nestor
there.
at the turn of the century. But I was
Absolutely.
already 10 years on the radio then, right? Like
Right.
so, we had already gone through 5 years of not having a
Right.
football team, and I mean, I come at this, and I don't think people even know, or maybe you even knew of my that. I wrote the lead story in the newspaper six different times. I was the lead story of the sports section dozens of times
Had
over
no idea.
8 years.
Had no
Yeah.
idea.
I
Didn't
wasn't a
know.
cub reporter just,
Yeah, didn't
covering
know.
the high
Didn't
school
know how
girls
you
softball game, which I did
didn't
that
know
too.
how you came to do all the concert stuff you do and did. Had no idea you had interviewed and sat with all these phenomenal rock stars. Didn't know your family story. Look, we've worked together for a while, and I had no idea of the story of your family, your parents, your son.
I'm
It
so
was
heartened that I did this just talking to you about it because I've had
yeah.
people write me. I had my old school teacher, Joyce Bucci, call me in tears, like after watching it. And she's like, it was the most beautiful thing. Keith Brewer, who narrated it and just read
Yeah.
basically what Greg put together with me with the script. And he sent me a text. That was a beautiful story. And I'm like, that means a lot to me. But more than that, I swore, other than my son. Literally, other than my son and maybe a handful of people, would there will be parts of it, large parts of it, that you don't know about me.
Right. And the fact is, here's the thing. People in your world. So in my world, I'll tell you this. We haven't sent it out yet just because I've been so stupidly busy with busy. But there are people in my life that are clients that have become best great friends over the years. And these people, you and I talk about it all the time. These people have been with me since before I was married. Many of them since before my son was born. They went through we're going to find a college, university for him to go to. And now graduation. And I can tell you when I talk to people this year, this month, everybody's asking me, how's Matthew? Is he a junior yet? Junior? He's graduating on Sunday from The Ohio State University. And people are shocked. They're like, oh my God. And then, you know this because we've talked about it. He's accepted an opportunity to go to Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland for his master's starting in the fall. And when I've told clients that, they're just so honored and so thrilled. And so my people are involved in my life. We don't just handle their money.
Well,
We
they
know
cheer
who
for
they
you and you
are.
cheer for them. That's
That's
the way this
right.
works.
That's right. We know who they are and they
I
know who
put a
we
lot more
are.
effort into cheering for that than I do the Orioles or the Ravens at this point, who've
Absolutely.
shown what they're really, what
Value.
they're a
Who
business.
values? That's right. And you know what? The people that care about you care about what's called in the world of marketing, and I don't do this for marketing. They care about your origin story. They want to know who's the guy behind the microphone. They want to know who's the guy handling their money.
Wow, I'm going to use that origin story. That's going to be part of my marketing story. Thank you.
Yeah,
You're
they
giving me good stuff here. I'm writing
yeah,
that down. Origin story.
people want to know what you're about. They want to know who the human being is that they're working with. And sadly today, a lot of people, that's not part of their thing. But you don't go to buy a car or go to the store and think about, there's a great show. I'm 99% sure, Ness, it's on the History Channel. It's the brands that built America, the food that built America, the men that built America, the businesses that built
How
America.
Heinz ketchup was built like that, right?
Exactly. There's an episode on about the guy, a guy, I think he was in Boston, who decided he wanted M&M's and Reese's Pieces and cookies in his ice cream. So he created Cold Stone, but he didn't create Cold Stone. He created using a Cold Stone to mix stuff in the ice cream. And then these two guys from Vermont that wanted to be in business that had no idea what to be in business doing. They wanted to be bagel makers or something. Drove into his place one day and He taught them how to do this, and they became Ben and Jerry. And then there was a guy, I don't remember where he was, who owned like 30 Dairy Queens. And he saw it. He said, oh, my God. And he created the Blizzard. And these are stories of people. It's the Ford story. It's the DuPont story. It's the, you know, whatever. And the
well,
fact
I created
is,
sports radio in Baltimore. Just ask me.
Right. The fact is, people want to know who it is, who's behind the mic, who's behind my money. They want to know your family. They want to know your story. You know, how many people really gave a damn more about your wife and her illness than gave a damn about whether the Orioles won that year? They wanted to know how Jen was doing. They didn't care who was hitting 300, who was an all-star. Your listeners wanted to know. They carried along with you during that time your wife's story, your swab, your 30 and 30 baseball games. People knew about that and cared about that. You know, that's what people care about, the human story. And then they support a business that goes along with.
Well, I haven't really asked the public to support me in a long time. You know what I mean? Like, in a literal sense of haven't had a road trip, have the plague, all of this stuff. The support ask is coming, but it's more like the reason. I mean, I made that video for a lot of reasons. I made it just so I got the record straight.
Yep.
On what Nasty Nestor is and what I've done.
Yep.
and certainly I made it as a chef's kiss to Chad Steele, but I also made it for David Rubenstein, whose people have me under review. So I'm going to send that to them and say,
they need to see it. Absolutely.
Here's where you are. If you want to lock, this is who you're locking out on behalf of whom? A dead
I'll
guy?
I'll give you for instance. I'll give you for instance.
Everybody, you know?
But I'll give you for instance. You know, we sponsor, you know this, we sponsor the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital Golf Tournament, June 3rd. I had no idea you did a charity golf tournament. Had no idea you did charity bowling night.
Oh, it's many, many bowling nights.
No idea you'd done. I mean, as long as I've known you, quote unquote, and worked with you as a sponsor and on air and gotten to know you as a person, I never knew the history, and you haven't done any of those in forever.
I don't have a staff to manage it.
No, I get it.
And everybody else does it. And you know what?
It's a different world.
And I'll say this to you, sponsored friend to friend. This, the charity work I'm doing now,
yep,
including Cup of Super Bowl, and you can go 78 charities. And I do stuff every week. I did Sante this week for National Kidney Foundation. I say yes to every single.
I bet it's the best you do.
What's that?
It's the best feeling you get out of what you do.
It is. It's a fabric of who I am.
That's
I didn't start doing this last week. I've been doing this for 35 years this
and
way.
And you're just doing it different now.
I'm doing it different now. And what I do now is I say to all of them, I will MC any event.
Yep.
I will come to your golf tournament, same as you. I will promote it in a segment. But do things I won't do. I won't sit on your board.
Right.
I won't come to board meetings. I cannot be involved. I get asked all the time to run for Man of the Year. LLS
yeah.
is always,
right.
They want me to run for Man of the Year. It's now called Visionary of the Year.
Whatever.
And I said, I just can't lobby full time. I did
right.
this with There Goes My Hero with my wife.
Right.
I did this with Ed Block. It didn't lead to disappointment. It just almost bankrupted me. And
right.
as a guy who runs my, you know, who runs my money, I've almost been broke twice too. And I didn't put that in the video, and I could have, and it would be in the longer form. I did enough. 36 minutes of me was plenty.
Yeah.
But the Bill Murray stuff was great. But
yeah.
I would say,
I say
to all of them, the most important thing, and this is a Steve Bisciotti-ism, the most important thing I can do is sustain the business. So
that's
next
right.
year I'm here to promote Sante again.
That's
and
exactly.
only so
right.
much I can do, but the thing I have the most of is this. I have me, I have the voice, I have the video, I have 100,000 people to follow me, despite what Jerry
That's
Coleman
right.
might think. And I can promote what you're doing, and that's the strongest thing I can do, as opposed to taking 4 months of my life, begging everyone I know to buy a foursome
that's
in my
right.
golf tournament,
no thanks.
To go out and do it, and it might rain, and because I've done it all. I've done
exactly.
it all. I'm going to
no,
help
I'm just,
you and
all
Paula
I'm saying is
do
I didn't
it.
Know.
I'm going to help
I'm
100
I had no
people
idea.
Do it this
that's
year.
All.
I'm going to help every black tie event, every blue jeans tuxedo ball, every Almond Fund, every Zacking Against, every charity I can do,
yep.
my goal, and this is my Bono, is to shine the light on it. You know what I
there
mean?
You go.
Just to bring the light in on what people are doing. And that is what I feel like my gift can be right now.
You're
not
right on
to
target.
Be on John Buehren's news
report
with the Hooters girls or whatever,
right.
You know?
Right. So. No, and look, you've evolved. And now what you find is, where is my highest and best use? And that's the beauty of it.
Well, there's only one of me.
That's the beauty of it, is your highest and best use is how you've now determined to make that happen. And it's a great opportunity to help a great city become greater and get the message out there. And that's what Baltimore Positive is. And as I watched it, I said, oh, you know, here's an evolution.
Now you know what it is. I was trying to explain.
There's an
to people.
Evolution of from and to. And I remember the short, spiky blonde hair.
He was attractive, wasn't he? That guy.
He was some guy. He was some guy.
He was something.
And
I think the parts that I love the most about the documentary was unearthing the fact that here's George Bush throwing out a first pitch and Michael Jordan in New York, and I'm covering the World Series where they, you know, I'm under review by Greg Bader and TJ Brightman as to whether Thursday I should be allowed in the media when my Caucasian employee sitting in the press box, there's no Hispanic media members in this marketplace, and they're making me drink from a different water fountain, Mr. Rubenstein. So this needs to change.
And so he needs to know the man. He needs to know the person. You know, you need to have somehow there's got to be conversation that's not angry and not vindictive of the past. You just let it all go.
Mr. Rubenstein.
No. I'm talking about the Orioles in general. And it's time for them.
I'm going to the game Thursday.
I'm talking about them and you. It's time to have a sit down one to one or whatever. You don't need to defend a thesis.
You think I haven't offered that, Leonard?
No, I'm saying I know.
I'm the grown up here.
You don't have to defend a thesis.
TJ Brightman is not a grown-up.
There's none of this nonsense. It's time to sit down and bring you back in the fold and have you
promote. What about Sasha Brown and Chad? You want to sit with them too? You want to act as my fiduciary?
If I could get them to sit down and have a conversation, I'd do it. They don't know me from bonds.
They don't care to know you. They don't care to know me. That's the problem.
Well,
that
they got to
fundamentally is the problem that Greg Bader has never sat in a room with me. I told Rubenstein's guy that. I said, you know, these people have never communicated with me. I've never told them to go F themselves. I've never done anything other than spoke on the radio about how they've treated me.
Yeah.
And you can ask them how they've treated me. I know how I've treated them. I've applied for a press credential and I've been denied.
Yep.
Without reason or cause or justification. And I have to then go out to sponsors, friends, the community, sit at the bar at Costas, and have people ask me why they allow my Caucasian employee access and don't allow me. And why last Friday night, Luke had to literally leave the stadium, the Jackson Holiday, they sent him down. He had to leave the stadium and go to the football facility where they won't let me in to do the draft, to eat cheese balls. Apparently they were delicious. And Friday night, we did not have anyone covering the Orioles game because the WNST seat sits empty because the Hispanic guy with the ponytail who spoke truth about the creep that owned the team before, our seat sits empty. So that's the reality I live in. So I made the film to let people know.
No, it's great.
I'm not some jackwagon bartender. This is what I've done my whole life.
Right, right.
And this is what they're restricting me for doing.
Just show up on the scene and say you're a reporter and now they should let you in.
And this is where Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh and Steve, they all know better. They're doing wrong because they have the power and the money to do wrong. And I have to go out onto the streets and have people ask me why. Don't ask me, ask them. I've been doing this work the same way from the very, very beginning with the same integrity from the very, very beginning, which is why you want to be involved with me, which is why Wise Markets, Cole Roofing, Maryland Lottery, Toyota, I mean, all my sponsors that have been with me all of these years, they understand what I'm about. So I felt like the film was going to shed some light on that. And I hope that they give me a press credential. And if they do, I will use it. And if they don't, I will, you know, appropriately damn them for that.
Right. I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all.
Absolutely.
So, tell people about Fiducie Who,
Again,
the book available
the book's
Tuesday.
available on Amazon. It's available on our website. It's available on wherever better books are sold. Come on Tuesday night, May 7th.
Bottom line is this. What kind of snacks are we talking here? What kind of hors d'oeuvres? Are we talking
we cheese? Always do. We always do good food. We do
I know
phenomenal
you well
food.
Enough. That's why I asked.
We always do phenomenal food and drink. Yeah, you're not gonna get Fritos
hey,
and
honey,
dip.
Come hungry.
You're
Sorry.
not
Here,
you're not gonna get Fritos and dip at Raskin Global. No, we have good food. Give us a ring. Send us an email.
I'm sending Luke over. His bar
there
is
you
really
go.
low with these cheese balls that Chad Steele fed him last Thursday and Friday.
Send us an email. Let us know you're gonna drop by. The caterer likes to know how much food we need. And or just stop by 4 to 7, open house, walk in, get a signed book, ask me questions.
I'm
And,
looking for a little Cabernet Sauvignon.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think it's on the, I think it's on the bar.
All right.
A little
good.
Limoncello in the freezer. And, we're ready to go.
Oh, see, you'll buy you with food and sell, you know, you'll sell your soul to the Fiducie Who. Leonard Raskin looks after my dough. He looks after a lot of folks, though. I've been to his many events of all sorts of walks of life that come to Leonard Raskin and Raskin Global. He's out on the front of Baltimore Positive. Don't look for him at a hockey game because he's given up on hockey and his kid's graduating this weekend. And, hey, the Orioles will still be here next week. They're in
Yes,
Cincinnati
indeed.
this weekend, so they're going to Ohio as well.
Yes.
Next Friday, we are going to be down at Fadley's. Lexington and Mark, you haven't been to the new Fadley's. They're having the grand
I have
opening.
not. I have not.
Mr. Bill's doing a little better. He had some health issues. I had Damian last week, but I'm two times. So we're going to be there next Friday for the Diamondbacks. They're having their grand opening the night before, and that's a private event. So some folks are coming out for that as well. And then they're also doing the crab races on the 16th. And my crab did so poorly last year against BJ Suroff. They've relegated me now. I'm now the MC. They're not even giving me a crab.
You don't
to
get
run
to
in the
go
race.
Down to the, what is it, the lower level? Like you're relegated in soccer, right? You get to go to the lower league.
Look, anybody that confuses me with a broadcaster at this point after 40 years, I'll accept the role of being the master of ceremonies
there you
for
go.
The Lexington Market Crab Derby races
awesome.
On the
before
16th.
Before the Preakness.
Leonard, good luck with the book. I will see
Thank you.
We'll
sir.
Probably chat again before next Tuesday, but good
Absolutely.
Luck with your event Tuesday. You can find it all at RaskinGlobal.com. There's a whole educational series up there about what to do with your money. Ways you don't even need to call and deal with Leonard right away. You could spend a day and a half on his website just learning stuff, and then you can call Leonard to come out and get the book as well, because the website's pretty robust, as are his daily briefings on just smart little tips and funny little stories he likes to share about money. And we'll talk baseball next week. I don't know if you heard, we're kicking the Yankees' ass.
We are.
Good.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Time to sweep them out of town, just like the Rangers did to the Caps.
You know, you've gotten two Nasty Nester stories this week. The first one in the documentary, and then the second one, us beating his tail on Tuesday night. But
there you go.
I remain a Nasty Nester. I'm embarrassed. I went to New York Saturday. I had
yeah.
the whole day free. I walked 20 miles. I danced with the Black Crows. I ate all my favorite pizza and Asian food and all the stuff you do in New York. The one thing I didn't do, and I told Luke this, all these Nasty Nester shirts that they made.
Yeah, right.
If I just would have taken the train up to the Bronx and gone into some of the thrift stores, I probably would have come home with five or six really nice, modern Nasty Nester
That's
mustache
it. There you
shirts
go.
That would bring – we need to bring Nasty Nester back is what we need to do, you know?
That's it. That's it. I'm surprised you haven't had him on the air.
I
could
don't,
be the Nester and Nester
I don't
show.
Know if you know this, Leonard, or not, I don't have a media credential.
I know, but
yeah,
you couldn't. You couldn't find. Nobody could find a way to get a hold of Nasty Nester and tell him Nasty Nester wants to talk to him. He was with the Orioles for a minute,
and I cheered him on through his Infinity ERA, and I railed against management the day that they got rid of him. I
yep.
thought he was pro. You know, he was profiled as a
yep.
Nester, and
yep.
they couldn't have that around.
But,
hey, dude, I loved. I put the pregame on, and I had to
great.
Pick my wife up at the airport. So I watched half the game, and I listened to the other half of the game.
Yeah.
So I had all the broadcasters. I got to hear every single broadcaster say my name out loud. And I tell you, Melanie just kept saying, Nasty Nester, Nasty. And every time he towed the rubber, Brett
yep.
Hollander called him Nestor, not Cortez. They could have just chosen to never use
right.
his first name.
Right.
They all said his first name. And every time I hear somebody say that name, as I pointed out in the 25th anniversary
just a little
documentary,
bit of dating.
I go a little like, That's weird. That's weird. Such a weird name, you know? Like, Leonard is a name that, like, a lot of people have, and maybe you
not
like
really.
It, or you want it to be a Len or a Lenny, or maybe you want it to be your middle name or whatever. But, like, I really didn't like my name, you know? So,
well, you know.
I'm pleased that there's
It
a new Nasty Nester.
It served the purpose for all these years.
And one day they'll bring him home.
That's
and
right.
Wear an Oriole uniform and strike out the side for the Orioles, and I'll get to – maybe one day I'll get him on the air. It would be a lot of
Right,
fun to have him
right.
on. I bet he would enjoy my 25th anniversary documentary and realize he
Absolutely.
Was not the first Nasty Nester.
Exactly. I think he should know that.
I think someone should tell him.
I think
it should be me when Mr. Rubenstein gives me my press pass. Whenever the review is over with, after 40 years, whenever the review is done and I get
somebody
my
should let
press
him know.
credential back.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, what could I – how can people not expect me to piss on that? That I'm
Right.
under review.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, let her ask it. He takes care of money. He takes care of people. Treats people right. He is a fiduci who, and you can find out who at RaskinGlobal.com. All right. We are going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm doing a lot of Derby stuff this week. Kentucky Derby's running this week. Dick Girardi's on. I had David Richardson on and Alan Foreman talking about the future of the Preakness, and maybe somewhere down the line Leonard will get his wife and we'll have a table, and you know, there'll be the new track and all that. Before that, they're going to Laurel for a couple years, so there's some news, there's a lot of news in the racing industry that I'm getting out this week as well, and out at Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive and Nasty Nestor, whether we want to or not.